Amen. So even up to like 2 weeks ago, we were used to standing and sitting and, you know, moving around a little bit during a service. Are you guys falling asleep yet? You've been sitting here for a half hour. You know, if you're falling asleep, just say yes. Okay, if you're not, just say no. All right, so very little interaction so far. We're going to change that. Take your hands out. Okay, I'm not going to make you hold them out as long as last week. Last week I had somebody tell me on Monday, man, my arms were sore after you did that. Okay, so we're not going to do that. If you got glasses, sorry for any smudges you might get, but go like this. I know it's hard to do, but now go ahead and take them away. Okay, so try again. All right, now take them away. So out here, it's light, right? So then in here, it's supposed to be what?
Dark.
Dark, yeah, that's right. You guys can, thank you. Dark.
Dark.
Very good. So in light and dark, okay? Light, dark, light. I won't keep doing that because someone's bound to hit themselves and it won't be pretty. Okay? Lightness and darkness, both needed, both necessary, both parts of the Advent story. Listen to how the Gospel of John starts. The writer says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. This past Friday, which I know was, you know, Black Friday, and in between Thursday and Saturday, and, you know, just a crazy busy weekend, so you may or may not have been looking at your social media or your email, but we sent out some questions for you guys to be thinking about to start priming the pump for some interaction we're going to have today. Last week we had some interaction, and the people online really enjoyed it. You guys got to experience a little bit of our online community through their answers, so we're going to do that again today. The questions were, just to remind you, what do you feel when you think about darkness? What do you feel when you think about light? What are some good and helpful things about darkness? What are some good and helpful things about light? And name some good gifts of darkness. Okay? So those are the questions. Let me read them again. What do you feel when you think about darkness? What do you feel when you think about light? What are some good and beneficial things of darkness? What are some good and beneficial things of light? And name some good gifts of darkness. We're gonna answer those questions, okay? With this new format of not singing and me sitting and everything, it kind of feels like a professor classroom. So we're gonna have some dialogue again this morning. For those that are watching online, I'd encourage you with those questions, even if you just remember the answer to one of them, go ahead and start writing them down in the comment box. I understand if it's on Facebook, it's easy to do that. If you're on YouTube, some people struggle to respond back online. So you feel free. This will be the only time I ever say this. Go ahead and text me in the middle of the sermon. You text me your answers to these questions, okay? Our tech team, if you're writing them in the comment box, will send them up to me, and we're going to interact with each other and then with those online as well. So in light and darkness, both needed, both necessary, both part of the Advent story, this theme for Advent came about last November. So November 2019, Patty Hands, who was our children's director at the time, was looking for a good curriculum to send to families, something that had some good crafts and some good interaction between kids and parents. And she brought that to me, and I thought it was fantastic. And yet last year, we had already planned the Advent series, so we both said, let's do it next year. So this series, or this idea of light and darkness, has been kind of brewing for the last year. I was telling Art Oler earlier that I have no idea where it's going to go, but it's been in the pot for about a year. So earlier this week, we emailed parents with young-ish kids the curriculum so they could have the crafts to do with their kids. If you didn't get that, or if you want that, if you like doing crafts no matter what your age is, we'll email the PDF out to everybody tomorrow anyways. And if you look at that, you'll notice that the themes for each Sunday are taken from that curriculum. So the theme in light and darkness comes from something that somebody else already wrote. But both light and dark, necessary, both needed, both parts of the Advent story. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask a question, and you guys are going to respond without really, thinking, but that goes against everything our parents taught us growing up, doesn't it? Respond appropriately without thinking. All right, so what is the first thing you think about when you think about darkness? Go ahead and say it, and I'll repeat it so our people online can hear it. What's the first thing you think about? What do you feel when you think about darkness? Sleepy, scared. What else? Fear. Bad things. Okay, anything else? I missed that. Peace.
Reservation.
Okay, peace, reservation. Anything else? We're seeing how fast our online people can text back. My tech team tells me every time we do this, you got to give them some time to respond back. All right, well, sorry, we're going to move on to the next question. And we'll try and catch up with them, but they'll try and catch up with us. What do you think about? First thing that comes to mind, what do you feel when you think about light?
Warmth.
Hope. Nobody feels, not too many people feel light.
Peace.
Okay, similar to dark. Somebody else. What do you feel when you think about light?
Brightness.
Being able to see. Okay, good. Someone online said darkness that makes them think of rest. Light gives us purpose, motivates us to get going. Darkness is the time to come in and kind of rest and reset. Okay, so we're working here. This is good. All right, next question. And because I'm seeing that this shouted out is a little bit uncomfortable for us, we're going to go with this. Turn and tell somebody near you what something good and helpful about light is. Something good and helpful about light. You have permission to talk, okay? All right, now as you're turning and talking to that person, something good and helpful about darkness. Our friends online are saying that light is joy, it's growing, it's life. Darkness is rest, recovery, and life. Light is safety and joy. All right, so now you're going to have to say something out loud again. Okay, something good and helpful about light. Our friends online says it allows us to see things and exposes things. That's good. Okay, somebody else, something good and helpful about light.
Energizing.
It's energizing. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I wake up and it's dark, and by the time the light starts to shine, it just gives you that new burst of energy. Okay, something else, something good and helpful about light. Helps things grow, and you added helps things grow fruits and vegetables. Absolutely, you need the light to be able to grow. Although somebody online said you need darkness to start that growth. So it's interesting, interesting contrast, interesting tension there. Okay, anything else good and helpful about light? A lot easier to follow directions in a light, yeah? At least for me. Okay, something good and helpful about darkness. Ready, set, go. You can say it out loud. Something good and helpful about darkness. It helps people sleep. Sure. Or it puts you to sleep. One of the two. Yeah, maybe you can sleep a little bit more soundly. Darkness gives us a reason to turn on a light. I like that. That's deep and profound. It cools things down, absolutely. You live in those southern states, you look forward to the night. Somebody online said people gather together oftentimes, and they help one another in the darkness. So there's more of that, potentially more of that community feel, at least that community helpfulness. Say that again, Richard? Salvation comes at dark, after dark? Out of darkness. Yeah. It's dark from the third hour to the noon hour. Sure, you're talking that Okay, yeah, yeah. I got you. Good, good. Other thing else. Beneficial aspects of darkness. All right, so this one, you feel free to be creative. Some good gifts of darkness. Okay, good gifts of darkness. Be thinking for just a second. I'll give you an example, something I thought of, okay? Hide and seek tag is so much better at night. That's a gift. Okay? You say you get to see the stars and the northern lights at night. That's definitely darkness. Somebody else online said that same thing. Darkness allows us to see the stars. You can watch movies. Have you ever tried to watch an outdoor movie in the middle of the day? It's not good. But you didn't say outdoor movies, but I sensed that that's what you were thinking. Yeah. It'd be hard to go to a drive-in in the middle of the day. All right? That's the absolute goodness. Tessa. We're all the same when you turn off the lights. That is so true. I read a book this past week that the lady who talked about there's an experience in darkness, and the guide actually was blind, but everybody else wasn't, and the guide actually had that the advantage because she was used to it. And it was funny because at the end of that experiment, the lady who was writing the book said, you know, we kind of squinted our eyes and we came out in the light and started looking around to see who had been with us the whole time because they didn't know who they were, and it really just evened everything out. That's good. Thank you. I was hoping somebody online would say that. Christmas lights are so much better at night. I was driving here this morning and I saw somebody's Christmas lights on, and I thought, wow, I bet those would be pretty nice at 5 o'clock tonight. Okay, some other gifts of darkness. It heightens your other senses. Absolutely. That's a definite gift of darkness. It makes you want to find light. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Fireworks,
yes, absolute. You know, those they're just not any good at noon. Or at least they're a lot less good at noon. I would think that without darkness, it'd be harder to enjoy sunsets and sunrises, for that matter. I saw something on Facebook this past week that, or maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, the town in Alaska, Barrow, is that how it's said? It, like the sun set in Barrow a couple of weeks ago, and it won't rise again until January, like middle of January. I'm not quite sure how they do that. Any other gifts of darkness? I would think it orders a sustainable, like a sustainable rhythm. You got light and dark and light and dark. One more. Yeah, gives you the ability to discern so much, all things, because if it was always just light, there's some things you'd miss out, okay? So would you agree, you can shake your head yes or no, that we need light and dark? Yes, both needed, both necessary, and both parts of the Advent story. Let me pray. Father, I'm not quite sure where this series is going to go. Thankfully, you know, and I ask that you would help me listen well to where you want to take us and to what you want us to hear. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I have three dogs that live in my house. None of them are mine. Can anybody, like, you get that, right? One of those dogs is named Dobby. I think we got a picture of Dobby up there. It's actually one of my favorite pictures of Dobby. Up on Mount Spokane, this is last year. A couple of weeks back, I'm convinced that Dobby is scared of the dark. All right, I'm convinced of that. A couple of weeks back, we were up on Mount Spokane doing some hiking. Had him out there in the snow. It was the first time up on Mount Spokane in the snow. And the end of the day was fast approaching. It was getting dark, and we knew that we would need to go in to leave. So Dobby, unlike the two littles that we have, Dobby doesn't go to the bathroom very often unless you encourage him, right? You've seen the people walking around saying, go potty, go potty, go potty. Well, we named him Dobby because of the white sock and because it rhymes with potty, right? Go potty, Dobby, go potty, Dobby. And you say that 10 times, it gets kind of a tongue twister. But anyways, end of the day, Mount Spokane, dark outside. We wanted to be done, but we knew that he hadn't gone in a long time, so we knew that he needed to go. So from the parking lot, there's a little trail right off the parking lot, and we could walk about 100 yards and still have a little bit of light from the lights at the parking lot. So we walked down, and we were repeating that, go potty, Dobby, go potty. And he was right next to us the entire time, on a leash, okay? And he goes to the bathroom on a leash. But we made it down to that little turnaround, 100, 150 yards away, and he hadn't gone. So what do? We turn around and walk back, because you keep going further, and it's dark. I don't like the dark. All right? So we start walking back. Does he go? What do you think, Silas? Does Dobby go on the way back? No, you're right. He doesn't. Okay? So at that point, I'm still a little bit patient, maybe. So I was like, all right, fine. Let's turn around and go back. So we walked out that 100, 150 yards again, telling him, go potty, Dobby, go potty. And he's just right next to us the whole time. Got to turn around, didn't go. Came back again. Still didn't go. By that point, my patience is minuscule, okay? And we go out again, and I'm noticing something. I'm noticing that any time Dobby hears any sort of sound, he comes closer to us, right? And the sounds that are in the woods at night, do you guys like them? Yeah, I got the kids in the front like, huh? And I got the adults looking around to see who else is going to say no. No, we don't. I mean, Dobby didn't know what the sounds were, didn't know how they were being made, didn't know where they were coming from. It had him on edge. So we figured, all right, we won't walk back into the trees. We'll meander around in the parking lot for a little bit. He should go. It became a battle of the wills. An hour and a half later, he still hadn't gone. Still hadn't gone. So we called it a night. Okay? Ended up, we got to the place where we were staying, we got home, went inside. Dobby went immediately to the back door. Opened the door, 1.5 steps out onto our deck, and he went. Yeah, some of you are laughing. I wasn't laughing. Okay? I'm convinced Dobby was scared of the dark. Now, I can't blame him. All right? My most restless nights when I'm backpacking or camping is that first night out in the woods. Because at home, I'm used to the sound maker. I got the babbling brook going on. You make sounds in the woods, right? The babbling brook, and I got the fan going. But when I'm actually out in the woods, there's none of that. And you hear everything. Every leaf that falls, every mouse that scurries, every branch that cracks, and every single one of those noises is a bear coming to eat me. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? There is not this comfort in the dark. I like a good headlamp. I like a good flashlight because the light chases away the darkness. Some might say the light makes the darkness go away. So listen again to our text, okay? First, or John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. He created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Is darkness all that bad? I mean, I've been sitting there wrestling with this. I think part of our unease, part of our dislike of dark is because of how darkness is portrayed in Scripture. I mean, if you've ever noticed, over and over and over, darkness is equated to evil, to wrongdoing, to sin. You know, when John talks here, he says darkness can't be extinguished. It can't extinguish the light, excuse me. We can't overcome it or comprehend it, is what other translations say. Now, John's listeners would have known, maybe would have memorized some of the verses from the Old Testament about darkness. Verses like Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Or Psalms 82, verse 5. But these oppressors know nothing. They're so ignorant. They wander about in darkness while the whole world is shaken to the core. You kind of catching the theme here? Darkness is not good? A standard Advent text is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And Isaiah says, nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future where Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, it'll be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness, this is the prophecy, will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, and that could also be translated a land where death casts its shadow, in that land a light will shine. Now, you read passages like this and you think, is darkness really all that bad? I mean, darkness gets a pretty bad rap in the Old Testament. And honestly, it doesn't get any better in the New Testament. You see, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26, he's telling a group of religious leaders what Jesus had told to him. Okay, so Jesus had said to Paul, yes, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. All right, so Paul, he takes this idea that Jesus told him and one that he had known from his Old Testament passages, and he just runs with it. He writes all these letters to different churches, and in quite a few of them, there's references to darkness. You can just listen to him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, Paul writes, "For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night." In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he says, "For God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Or in Ephesians chapter 5, "Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them." If we want to oversimplify this equation, darkness equals bad. Light equals good. In a different letter, same author, John, in 1 John 1:5, John says, "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all." Okay, so kind of like what Art said, darkness equals bad, right? And light equals good. Now, hearing all these passages, it's no wonder that some of us are slightly uncomfortable in the dark. You know, I didn't quote scripture with my dog, but maybe that's part of why he's a little bit uncomfortable at night. And yet, our passage today says the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now, we know that what John's talking about here in these first five verses of his gospel is darkness equating to sin. All right, so John's saying that with Jesus' arrival, our eyes were open to the sin in the world. Our eyes were open to how bad it was, how evil it was, how dark it was. But John's saying that no matter how dark, how bad, how evil it is, nothing can extinguish the light of Christ. So therefore, light of Jesus equals good. Dark, in terms of spiritual darkness, is not so good. That's how I'd simplify it or oversimplify it. But do you think Jesus or Paul or any of the other Old Testament writers would have said that darkness in general was bad? We've got a lot of verses that kind of paint that picture, but I don't know. I mean, much like you guys, when there was things that were good that came out of the darkness, you guys shared some of those things, you know, the ability to grow, the ability to heighten our other senses. I think these writers in the Bible would have said something very similar. And yet, our culture today, I think, kind of connotes darkness equaling bad. You know, so whether it's spiritual darkness, whether it's physical darkness, you know, there's times we go through emotional darkness, mental darkness. And oftentimes everybody says, oh, that's bad. You want to get out of that. But I don't know. I mean, I've been wrestling with this notion of dark and light, wrestling with this tension, knowing that, you know, that as we would talk, there'd perhaps be some good things that came out of the dark. So I keep asking this question, is darkness really all that bad? And I don't want to mess with anybody's minds this morning. 2020 has done that enough, but I'm going to anyways, okay? One of the tools I like to use when I'm studying scripture is to listen for echoes. You've heard me use that phrase before. An echo is simply something in one text that points back to something in another text. You know, if it's in the New Testament, often the echo comes from the Old Testament. And oftentimes the New Testament writers were trying to bring to mind some of what the Old Testament writers were talking about. Now, today's text in John chapter 1, 1 to 5, has an obvious echo. All right, an obvious one. Listen to how John 1 begins. In the beginning. For those who know their scripture, where have you heard that before? Genesis. The first three words of our Bible, in the beginning. Is John echoing to this? I've got to believe he is. All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, if John is echoing this beginning, this creation story, we've got to ask the question, what is he echoing for? What is he echoing from? What does he want us to get from that? I mean, it's obvious in the gospel text that he's saying, you know, dark equals spiritual, you know, darkness, sin, and Jesus overcomes that. But what would he be echoing? Why would he be drawing our attention back to Genesis chapter 1? Look at that. We've got it. Yes, Tessa. Okay, yeah. So Tessa says in the beginning, before God created the heavens and the earth, everything was dark. So maybe John was alluding back to that. All right, so if we are in Genesis chapter 1, you may know this. You know, it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness, thank you, Tessa, darkness covered the deep waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. We get a couple of days, right? The first day, the first thing God says is, let there be light, right? Not a trick question, okay? Saw it was light, God saw that it was good. Okay, then you get down a few more days take place, and in verse 14, it says, then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, the days and the years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth, and that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night, and he also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. When he said it was good, was he just looking at the sun and the moon and the stars? Was that the only thing he was referencing being good? Or could it have been that he also was saying the darkness was good? I kind of lean on that. I think he was saying there's good in the darkness. You know, this relates to the physical darkness. All right, we've talked a little bit about spiritual darkness, physical darkness. There's all sorts of stories in our scripture where good things happen at night. Believe it or not, all right? Abraham wrestled with God. When did Abraham wrestle with God? Not a trick question. At night. You can say it out loud. At night. Okay, and at night it is dark, right? Abraham was questioning God, how in the world am I going to be the father of many nations when I don't even have a kid of my own? I don't even have my own offspring. God took him out, showed him the stars. When do the stars come out? They come out at night. And at night it is dark. Very good. Abraham's grandson, Jacob, fell asleep. When do people typically fall asleep? At night. Yeah, I'm leading you down this path. I really am. Okay? And he had a dream. Dreamt about a ladder going from earth to heaven. This dream happened at night in the dark. All right? Physical darkness, there were a lot of good things that happened in the Old Testament during the dark. And we could even kind of jump over to this idea of mental darkness. You think of the story of Job, how he lost everything. That had to have been a dark, trying time for him. You think of the story of Joseph. And he went from favorite son to kid sold into slavery, to Potiphar's house where he worked his way up and became kind of in charge, to thrown in jail of the Pharaoh, and then he interpreted dreams, and you know, and then he was free. What an emotional roller coaster. There was darkness in that. You know, as a parent, you think of Mary watching Jesus die on a criminal's cross. That had to be hard. That had to be one of her seasons of greatest darkness. And yet, out of all of these seasons of darkness, the light became even brighter. Maybe that's what John is referencing here in terms of the light not being, the darkness not being able to extinguish the light. Out of all of those times of darkness, the light became even brighter. And maybe that's the goodness in the dark, is that it reveals the light. I think somebody may have said that. And I forget who. Somebody said that darkness really highlights the light. Okay, so here's a question. Can spiritual darkness also have goodness to it? I mean, if God, who Scripture says there is no darkness in him, if he can call darkness, physical darkness, good, could there be good in spiritual darkness also? Now, if you're squirming a little bit, you're going to question my theology. Don't, okay? Sin is bad. Stay away from it. Run from it. Do all you can to get away from it. But if God calls physical darkness good, I wonder, can he call spiritual darkness? Is there at least some goodness in it? What if the darkness of our lives brings us closer to the light of Christ? I met with a man recently in the last month, and I'll speak very broadly, okay? This man was in the latter half of his life, so somewhere between 30 and 100, depending on how many days the Lord gives him. And this man came and was in tears, literally, okay? We had a wonderful conversation. This person was on the edge, on the verge of losing something. It was what was given a second chance. And this person, as we sat and talked, wept, thinking back to his life and all the years that he just lived in the darkness, all the year there was like voracious sin that he just welcomed and embraced, and that was causing a lot of the potential loss. And yet that also is what drove this person to his knees, drove him to weeping, to realizing how good Christ's grace, how good Christ's forgiveness, how good Christ's mercy is. So in a sense, in a very real sense, this person's darkness drove him to the light. So there was good in this person's darkness. I don't know if this person would have appreciated the light near as much had they not lived the life that they had lived before. Now again, hear me. I'm not saying go and live a life of rampant sin so that you can be moved closer to the light, because sin is bad. You want to stay away from it. But I do believe that the seasons of darkness in our lives, God can use those to point us to the light, to point us to Jesus. We don't all live constantly in the light. We have seasons of good. We have seasons of bad. We have seasons of joy, seasons of sorrow. And I think in each of those, if we can remember that we can be pointed to the light, that will encourage us. We can remember that no matter how dark things may get, no matter how hard, how much it hurts, no matter how lonely, scared we can get, the darkness cannot extinguish the light. Is darkness all that bad? I don't think so. Started the message talking about my dog, not my dog, a dog that lives in my household, being scared of the dark. We took this dog back out to that same trail the very next day, okay? And pun intended, the difference in how he acted was like night and day, all right? Because all of a sudden, he's not walking right next to me, but he's galloping, he's frolicking, he's sticking his head in the snow, pulling it back out. Every sound that was exact same sound as the night before, you know, the tree creaking, the wind blowing, exact same sound. He's no longer scared, he's curious, right? So no longer fear, but, whoa, I can see, so let me go check and see what that is. I've got to wonder during this Advent season if we would be willing to take that same sense of curiosity. I wonder if we'd be willing to enter into, carefully, cautiously, prayerfully, some of the seasons in our life that were dark and see if Christ's light was able to be pointed to or shined even brighter. It's a risk for us to do. You know, this season we want to be all about smiles and joy and, you know, fun and happy. But what if we really sat with this idea of good in dark and light? It's a risk. And I don't know where it will take us, aside from the fact that we have the promise that darkness can never extinguish the light. So, if you're brave enough, I encourage you to sit this week. In fact, here's something practical. At least once for, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, turn off all the lights in your house. If you've decorated your tree already, if you've got any decorations up, go ahead and keep those lights lit. And if you don't, just light a candle and sit there in the dark and look at how the darkness makes the lights even brighter, how the darkness illuminates the lights even more. Be curious as it's dark and you're looking around like, oh, I've never noticed that shadow and how it's formed. And as you're sitting there, spend some time thinking back. Maybe you're in the middle of a hard time right now. And maybe it might seem like it's a long ways out to get to that light. And maybe it will be. But during that time when you're sitting there, at least be thankful that God is present with you in the dark. There may be no darkness in God, at least according to Scripture, but God calls the dark good. So in light and darkness, both needed, Both necessary, both parts of our Advent story. I'm not quite sure where this season, this series in darkness will go, but I'm trusting that the God who is light will illuminate what he wants us to see. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you are light and that in you there is no darkness, at least darkness of sin. And I thank you, Lord, that in our seasons of darkness that we all go through, in our seasons of challenge, of physical darkness, emotional darkness, spiritual darkness, mental darkness, I thank you that even though we may not see you, you are there. You are with us. You are holding us. You are holding our hand. You are guiding us. You are pointing us to the light. And I pray, Father, that you would open our eyes to what that light may be. Would you guide and direct this entire series? Would you guide and direct our Advent season? We look forward to what you're going to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, hey, since we're not allowed to sing, we're not going to sing another song, but I'll dismiss you.